after the U.S. debt downgrade, stocks are down, and China is not happy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. It's the first day major markets are having a chance to respond to Standard & Poor's downgrade Friday of U.S. debt, and markets are reacting as expected. European shares are lower right now, anywhere from 1 to 3%. For a moment today, European shares teetered into positive territory, hopeful about a European central bank plan to buy billions of dollars worth of Italian and Spanish bonds to prop those countries up. Wall Street last week, even before the downgrade, the debt ceiling drama sent stocks way down. The Dow gave back a big 5%. That was before the downgrade news. Today, Asian markets tumbled. Japan's Nikkei shed 2.2%. Chinese shares lost even more than that, more than 3.5%. China, of course, is the biggest holder of U.S. debt outside of the Federal Reserve, and it's had a full weekend to react to the downgrade. And react it did. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us now from Shanghai. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
How has China reacted to this downgrade?
Well, it had some pretty tough words for the U.S. The state-run press ran an editorial this weekend that said the good old days of the U.S. borrowing itself out of trouble are over. But that's really just rhetoric. The government's posturing for its own domestic audience. China's the biggest foreign holder of U.S. debt, but it's not going to dump that debt. China buys U.S. Treasury bonds in order to keep its currency artificially low, and that in turn keeps its exports cheap and keeps people employed. And this is sort of the circle that binds the U.S. and China together. China buys our debt so it can export goods to us, and we keep borrowing money from China so we can afford all those goods.
Well, Rob, I know Asian markets plunged today, as we said at the outset of the show. How much of that was about the downgrade?
Well, I talked to a few economists about this today, and the consensus seemed to be not as much as you might think. There's a lot of other things Asian investors are worried about, including the European debt crisis and unemployment numbers from the U.S. I spoke with economist Arthur Krober about this today, and here's what he said.
The U.S. downgrade among those pieces of information is probably ranks like 30th or 40th behind the U.S. latest U.S. economic data, which was pretty unpleasant, and what's coming out of Europe.
So it's not the downgrading per se, but it's what the downgrading represents that Asian markets seem to be responding to.
Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
So really, what is it about a credit downgrade that's such a bummer? I mean, foreign investors are buying as much U.S. debt today as they did on Friday. So what is it we're worried about? Some say it's more about a bruised ego. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Horrich.
Analysts say S&P's downgrade isn't telling us anything that wasn't already clear to financial markets. We've got political dysfunction, growing public debt, and a shaky economy. Joe Davis, head of investment strategy for Vanguard, says markets have already reacted to all of this, and they'll continue to.
I would certainly expect some volatility over this coming week, not necessarily for the downgrade per se, but just the continued uncertainty with respect to the macroeconomic outlook and market conditions.
Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan said on NBC's Meet the Press, the real effect of the downgrade is something more primal.
What I think the S&P thing did was to hit a nerve. And it's hit the self-esteem of the United States, the psyche, and it's having a much profounder effect than I conceived could happen.
Wounded pride sounds harmless, but economists have another, more troubling term for it, confidence. The downgrade is another blow as we try to reclaim our economic mojo. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. For the latest business news, go to marketplace.org and click on the newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
There was a time not so long ago when an investor could put a ton of money into a hedge fund and nobody would know. But then the financial system melted down and Congress decided bigger hedge funds should disclose information about who is investing and how much, which could be a boon to something called the family office. Economy 4.0 special correspondent David Brancaccio is with us now from New York. Morning, David.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. What is a family office?
Well, it's not a home office with a printer, file cabinet, or a cat. It's an investment company that only deals with the money of a single family, a single very rich family. And here's the thing, Steve. Family offices don't have to disclose detailed information under the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Law. information like the names of investors, dollar figures. The privacy of a family office is attractive to folks who get nervous if you or I knew just how much money they have.
Now, why is this in the news, though, David?
Well, because the Financial Times reported that a very successful, very famous billionaire, name of George Soros, has politely asked investors in his own big hedge fund to take their money and leave the fund for good so that he can run his investments inside a family office. By the way, beyond the prying eyes of regulators.
Now, do family offices have to report to, say, tax authorities?
Yeah, they do. But a tax return isn't exactly a public filing. Marian Mihalidis, the managing director of a Chicago-based umbrella organization for these things called the Family Office Exchange, says disclosure makes no sense.
What is the point when they're managing their own family assets? They're not taking outside investors, that there's no public interest to protect.
So who can get in a family office and who can't, David?
Well, regulators have been getting more strict on this point. They're allowed to take blood relatives, quite a few steps removed, and they can take spouses, but usually not the spouse's blood relatives. So your nice brother-in-law probably can't get into your family office, Dave. In fact, the Family Office Exchange is holding seminars for families to get them up to speed on the new stricter rules. And hedge funds are worried about losing business.
Lives of the rich and not so famous, eh?
You bet.
David Brancaccio with Marketplace's Economy 4.0 series. Finally, for months and months, Google's been testing cars with no drivers, cars that are retrofitted with all kinds of sensors that help them avoid accidents. But over the weekend, near Google's Mountain View, California headquarters, one of those driverless cars was involved in a minor fender bender. The modified Toyota Prius hit another car from behind and caused a pileup. No one was injured. A Google spokesperson told the website Business Insider the accident happened while a human was manually driving the driverless car. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is 8 p.m., American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.